Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost.
Welcome to Rabble Rants. I'm Santiago Helo Quintero, and alongside Jesse McLean, we're going to unpack the stories that have us most riled up and challenge the narratives around them.
Last week, Trudeau, in another pre-budget announcement, made some promises around tenant rights, which, if you've been listening to the show, is something we've been talking about quite a bit. As always, I look at these announcements with perhaps an unhealthy level of skepticism, but I'll do my best to break it down with as much of Santiago's hopefulness as possible because he's not with me today. But before I go over the actual details of the announcement and give my two cents, I'd like to ask you to share the episode with a comrade or two. Our content is for the masses, so your boosts absolutely make a difference in getting the word out there. Be sure to tag us at BP of Disruption so we can brag about it. All right, back to the Liberals. I'll give them a bright spot before I tear apart the details of their appeal to renters. One thing this announcement and all the talk around it does is give a nod to very pressing issues for renters. Things like high rent, rent evictions, and abusive landlords. To have the Prime Minister get up there on his platform and say those terms even, rent evictions and abusive landlords, I mean, he doesn't just acknowledge their issues that face a lot of people, but he also implies by his actions and his words that it's the government's role to intervene. Now, how much he can actually intervene is yet to be tested. There are provincial jurisdiction issues around the feds implementing this, but it surely is a standard to set that to say out loud in his position that the exploitive housing market isn't going to fix itself. That being said, it also isn't going to be fixed by these changes either. Nor do I think he's being sincere in what he's doing, but that will become obvious to you as I go through this. Now, I know most folks probably are aware of high rents, that they exist. 30% of people here in Ontario rent, and rents, they've just skyrocketed over the past 4 years in particular. The issue's been covered extensively, but rent evictions hasn't nearly gotten enough attention. We did an episode in March with organizers from Acorn Ottawa and Hamilton on exactly this. Their report that Acorn Ontario issued just right before that interview is eye-opening, and it only shows a portion of the picture. They pulled all their data, like most folks do, from the records that are available, but they made sure to note over and over that the reality is many landlords don't have to or won't register with any kind of authority. Most landlord-tenant relationships are what you would call off the books. And so the situation is always worse than what the data will show. That relationship also makes the implementation of a lot of suggested policies very difficult. Either way, rent eviction rates in places like Ottawa have gone up over like 500%. This is a trend that's seen right across the country. Ottawa's in particularly bad, but all urban centers are suffering from this. And it's trends like these that pave the way for extremely high rents. To get an idea of the impact that they have and how folks are organizing against rent evictions, be sure to listen to that interview. We called the episode Fighting Rent Evictions Locally with Ontario Acorn. And another thing that they talked about in that interview was the need for legal advice when folks are being served with an eviction notice or harassed by landlords. And that brings us to the first detail. We don't get many details of this Liberal announcement that we're talking about, the renters' rights announcement. The Liberals have promised $15 million in a tenant protection fund. This has been earmarked in the spring budget, which we are expecting on April 15th. What that $15 million is supposed to do is be dispersed throughout their country and fund legal aid organizations, the kind of organizations that would help tenants in their fights against rent evictions and abusive landlords, and through their hearings at the landlord-tenant boards and stuff like that. You know, rights aren't worth much if you can't defend them. All those rights that we have secured on paper in all of the charters and all of the legislation that has been passed, we can only protect them to the extent that we can challenge their violations in court. And as you know, this costs money, even for legal aid, even for pro bono lawyers. Like, they need to be funded in some sort of way. And as you can expect, their services are in high demand and in desperate need of funding. Folks fighting bad landlords typically can't afford lawyers. The same can't be said about their opponents. Many of these landlords aren't mom and pop operations. We debunked that in that episode with Ricardo Changen, the tenant class. Many of those landlords are actually huge corporations, which makes going up in legal battles against them very difficult. More often than not, folks just walk away, they get evicted, and unless they're, you know, organizing well. But even still, that $15 million isn't shit, is what I'm trying to say. This is $15 million. Again, it's across the entire country. And just to give you a picture of the deficit that exists within the legal aid, in 2019, the Ontario Premier, Doug Ford, cut $113 million from their funding of legal aid. That was like 30% of their funding. So they need a lot of money. Under austerity measures, these are one of the first services to go because they actually weaken our ability to fight back against the cuts and the violations of human rights that will occur because of those cuts. And so strategically, these services have been cut across Canada for some time. Sharing $15 million, I mean, I'm sure it's welcome when you're desperate for crumbs. You will take anything people offer you, so it's not unwanted. But for them to stand up there and say that they're creating some sort of fund and it's groundbreaking, it's not. Not at all. This is actually peanuts. But at least it's in the budget. That's more than you can say about the pharmacare. I'm sure that $50 million will be gobbled up quite quickly because these legal funds will surely be used trying to secure the next Liberal promise. We have no idea what it'll look like, but the Liberals are promising to craft a Canadian Renters Bill of Rights. I love all these pre-budget announcements that totally lack any details, but we're all supposed to give them a lot of credibility for it. Either way, what we do know about it is it's supposed to create some sort of national standard lease agreement. I think, again, it's important to mention here that many landlords aren't registered with any kind of authority at the moment, right? Not the municipality, not the province. Some of them might be declaring it as income, but as you know, many will not be. It's not a group that has been, you know, registered in a way that they can be held to the kind of standards that he's suggesting at the moment. So, and that's not even with the whole provincial jurisdiction problem. Even in jurisdictions where it is required for landlords to register or get some sort of accreditation, they will sidestep it, right? Like, just like bad bosses. And so I'm unsure exactly how a standardized lease agreement is going to help anyone. They don't really have any authority to have this be a binding lease agreement. They can't prevent people from making modifications to a lease agreement. I think they're really relying on people not understanding the details around a lot of these announcements. And so at face value, they seem like, okay, well, it's something, but it's not. What are they going to do? Decide on the best model for a lease agreement and upload a PDF to one of their websites? I'm not sure. But another thing that they want to add into this Bill of Rights is the requirement for landlords to disclose the rental history. How much did the person in that unit pay before you? I got to link Trudeau's video to the show notes here so you folks can see just how ridiculous he's approaching this point, how out of touch this man and his handlers are to think that people are able to negotiate with their landlords just simply because they knew how much the unit was going for before them. And this does nothing to address rent evictions, especially because the whole premise is like, hey, we upgraded the unit, and so now this is what it's worth. And also, the market determines something's value. I know a lot of folks, again, it's one of these things that you're looking at it, it looks like it should be a good thing, it's something, it might be a tool. I don't think anyone's as naive as Trudeau in thinking that just because you know how much the unit might have been worth, that that's some sort of ace up the sleeve. He's trying to play off that folks will be able to have leverage, or he's addressing some sort of power imbalance. And you can't bargain fairly with someone that controls the rental rates and access to all of these units. Anybody who's applied to rent anywhere will know that. Sure, by law, they can't discriminate against people who are on ODSP or who have multiple children or pets. But the reality is they do. They don't need to give a reason why you didn't get the apartment when the supply is what it's at. And so if there's a competition, they simply just get to pick their best fit. And it's not first come, first serve. There's no rules around it. So there's no negotiations that are able to take place. Jesus Christ, there's bidding wars going on for rental units. So there's the first person that tries to say to that landlord, oh yeah, well, I know this unit was worth $500 less last month, is off of the bidding war list. Like, they're not even going to be considered. They can even have many, many vacant units in a building, especially the larger buildings, and not be losing any money. But if they started to lower rents simply based on the negotiating skills of prospective renters, surely that would start a trend they don't want to start. So yes, that knowledge would be a good thing. You might feel validated in being angry and having to pay $700 more 2 years later. But I don't see that actually being able to lower our rents. This brings us to the last and my most objectionable detail of the announcement made by the Liberals last week in terms of renters' rights. Trudeau says our rent should count towards a whole lot more than just like the roof over our heads, I suppose. He thinks it should count towards things like our credit scores. All right. Now, credit scores are something that banks and other money lenders use to determine if you're worthy of a loan. This includes a mortgage, but also other things like car loans. And if you pay your rent on time, the Liberals are suggesting they want the bank to be able to reward you with a better credit score. And again, on the surface, this might sound great. The people in the credit score commercial certainly looked smug as hell when their credit scores were higher than that of their friends. But let's just take a closer look at this. I'm sure there's a lot of renters out there that aspire to be homeowners, but renters aren't being denied mortgages because of their credit scores. People can't afford their rent in record numbers right now, let alone being able to pay the down payment on a house and the costs that come with home ownership. This is on top of your mortgage. This affordability crisis has drained all of our bank accounts, which were, well, abysmal to start with, right? I don't care how good your credit score is. Have you seen the interest rates the Bank of Canada has set? The barrier to home ownership does not lay in the credit score system, okay? The credit score system sucks. I'm not going to unpack it all here. It reinforces racial economic inequality. It is lacks any nuance, and it's simply there to punish the poorest more. And the way that Trudeau sold this announcement, this part of the announcement, he made it seem like, oh, well, people who pay mortgages, they get to better their credit scores. Well, those same people who are missing their mortgage payments will tell you that it also lowers their credit scores. People who rent apartments have other ways to raise their credit score if that's what they're worried about, if they can, right? This requires a lot of money either way. But he's trying to imply that people with mortgages all have really great credit scores, and we know that, that's not the case. And that's also to point out that presumably this tying to the credit score goes both ways. Late payments would also count against your score. I can't see them setting up a system that didn't have penalties alongside of these so-called rewards. Participating banks will surely insist folks that are in arrears be punished, right? This is never going to be just a one-way system. That never works that way. And so what does the flip side mean for people? It means the poorest are going to suffer. Again, folks unable to pay on time will find themselves in deeper and deeper holes. I mean, that is what the credit score is designed to do, right? It's there to distinguish the classes based on their ability to pay. And let's also remember that banks are not the only ones using credit scores. Employers are also now using them to weed through prospective employees. Credit scores are bullshit. So you could be denied employment and denied a way to improve your credit score, because this is a life goal now, right? Because you have a bad credit score. It's a cycle. And it's meant to be. And this is just one more tool. It's just one more power imbalance that'll exist, especially for folks who can't or maybe won't pay their rent, right? What does this mean for the tenants that are out there trying to fight back against bad landlords? Folks like the York Southwestern Tenants Union, who have people on rent strikes. These are situations where people have horrible landlords, slumlords, companies trying to squeeze as much profit out of property as possible. And so as a means of last resort, rent strikes are happening where people are withholding their rent in order to press the situation, like withholding your labor. Sometimes it's the only card you have. When we spoke to Bruno from the York Southwestern Tenants Union, he talked about the work that went in to getting as many people as possible to sign up. First, just with a tenants union, but then when it came to that time where it was time for a rent strike, although most people agreed that there was no other tool at their disposal and they had tried everything else, that's still an uphill battle to try to convince people to withhold their rent. The folks at Acorn Ottawa and Hamilton also told us how almost half of tenants simply leave when they're issued an N-13. There's this real deference to authority that exists in everybody inherently, the way that we're brought up, right? Actually, not inherent, but it's from the environment that we're brought up in. And so tenants will always be a little bit hesitant, at least until we empower folks, right? Until we empower ourselves to understand what we hold. But there will be hesitation to push back against landlords. They control your shelter. I mean, it's getting done, but it's a struggle because that power imbalance exists. The fear of reprisal is real, and the difficulty in staying housed weighs on people's minds. So adding another point of leverage to landlords in this situation of a rent strike, who can then use this credit score penalties as a viable threat. Right, I imagine them sending a leaflet to every door explaining what a credit score is and how a bad one can harm you and how withholding your rent even for 1 month can be detrimental to the future of your family. And they wouldn't be all that wrong. So I think of people who are waging rent strikes now across the country, the elites must have to respond to that. When we're advocating for tenant rights, like organizing rights, like the right to negotiate as a collective, we're getting policies that want to break tenants down into individuals and actually really hamper one of the only tools that they have. Now, I'll tell you, I went over this with Santiago, and he was much more hopeful here. He believed that, and I hope that he's right, that people faced with the conditions that they're faced with that are on rent strike or that are facing slumlords organizing around that, that they won't be daunted, that the victories that they're fighting for are too important to be scared off by the threat of a credit score. And to further that point, the political conditions under which these housing announcements are being made tells us that this is a response from the wealthy trying to control the situation beneath them. This is just another political game by the folks paid to string us along, keep us in line. It's also a move against Trudeau's biggest opponent right now, right? Who will surely offer nothing to renters at all, despite the fact that Conservatives have been making housing one of their points of interest. They've made Trudeau a real target here, but that's an easy game for them, Right? Trudeau has been in power for a long time. And in those years, renters have seen increases we have never seen before. Whether they're his fault or not, nobody cares. At this point, nobody cares who implemented what 12 years ago under Harper. You can't use that. Hell, folks starting to vote now weren't even born when Harper took power. Playing the blame game here just isn't going to work. Young folks are particularly disillusioned, and those are the voters Trudeau is trying to appeal to here. The federal Liberals have been bleeding voters from the younger generations, and they have been losing them mostly to the Conservatives. They aren't hiding their approach to this at all. Not in the slightest. Their press release, the government said, this is about protecting renters, but this is also about generational fairness. Making sure millennials and Gen Z, who are most likely to rent, get a level playing field in the rental market. This inequality he's alluding to is based on the accumulation of wealth, especially property, land. That economic imbalance will continue to exist, which makes any type of these negotiations he refers to laughable. We're talking about a market where real estate investors are buying up 90% of the new units being built when they are built, and they're unaffordable to begin with. It's always this huge oversell by Liberals for all of their policies. And frankly, the NDP have called these half measures, and that critique does, as usual, doesn't go far enough. But one of these things that the announcement is also in response to, in my opinion, is the leaked RCMP report. And it really doesn't tell us anything we haven't already been feeling, but I imagine it was a bit of a wake-up call for the elites in Ottawa. I mean, it was more than bleak, though, saying it explicitly says in there that folks under 35 won't likely ever own a home. And young people know this. They know this to be true. This is their lived experience. I saw another one of those happiness index surveys. It showed younger people, I think 35-ish was the age range there, ranked us at 56th, ranked Canada 56th in happiness. Again, eye roll, but you know, that was exceptionally lower than their boomer counterparts was the point. And that was evidenced in another section, the RCMP aptly titled Popular Resentment. They go and say the coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations. Meaning we can see that there was a certain level of living standard and it is declining and rapidly declining without any hope for it turning around. And this decline in living standards, they say, will be exacerbated by the fact that the difference between the extremes of wealth is greater now in developed countries than it has been any time in several generations. I'm sure we were all meant to read that report in the end, and I can only imagine that folks that make decisions read it long before us. I see real promise in that report. That might sound strange, but I guess not if you've been listening, right? We also do a podcast called Blueprints of Disruption. And to know that people are getting to a point where they might be willing to risk a little bit more or at least understand their power and the need to push back and a sense of urgency. We always wanted to talk about how it wouldn't take getting to a certain point, right? So we wouldn't have to experience such oppression and turmoil in order to fight back, that we could perhaps look at other examples before we got to that point. But I think the reality is people do need to experience more people. It has to be a critical mass of kind of lived experience of poverty and oppression in order to convince people that the systems are not working for them. And we're seeing this, and Trudeau thinks he can address this generational economic gap with these measly measures. He is largely underestimating the same youth he's appealing to. He's underestimating their ability to recognize this for what it is. And the RCMP are predicting civil unrest from it all. Thankfully, you know, we are actually seeing this play out in real time with things like rent strikes, clashes with police, and a breakdown of trust in the systems they need us to believe in order to better control us. So not only have the police cracked down in response to this, but their authority over us is eroding. The tighter the fist, the more that falls through, and the more they show their violence and illegitimacy, the more people will resent their place of power. It's why their budgets are up, too. They know what's coming. But it's the left's job to make sure that all of that action is directed in the right way, that we're pointing up. Because if the conservatives are able to harness this angst that the RCMP can even smell, then that's not going to be good. And it's going to take measures that go far beyond any kind of renter's bill of rights to tame that. Because we know the ultimate goal of the liberals is not actually to address the economic gaps that exist. They are there to exasperate it. They are here for wealth accumulation, but they are also here to maintain the systems. And the systems won't continue to exist if the imbalance is too great. And they know this. It's this dancing game. And so just like Keynesian politics, where some concessions are made and implementations are made by the capitalist class, but they're not really. They're not really. They usually chain us even more so. And that's exactly what this legislation aims to do. Much of it isn't even legislation yet. And so the liberals, in true liberal fashion, package something up real pretty, and they're selling it to Canadians as a solution to their problems. In the end, the only way to properly secure tenant rights in the way that would address the power imbalance that exists, you know, short of seizing the means of production and ending private property, is tenant organizing. That means organizations like the York Southwestern Tenants Union, like Acorn Canada. They have branches right across the country. I will link you to these people in the show notes, but this is not an exhaustive list. One, because I don't know everybody doing everything, and two, because you have not yet created the connections yet. This is a growing trend. More and more people are starting to build communities within their apartment buildings, within their streets, within the networks of buildings and units owned by the same corporation. So you may not have a tenant union in your building, but I bet the big company that owns your building has pissed off enough people that they've come together in some sort of capacity to push back. If they haven't, that's what you need to do. I've said it a few times, I'll say it again. I truly believe tenant and community organizing holds the key to the political revolution we need. Have a great day. That is a wrap on another episode of Blueprints of Disruption. Thank you for joining us. Also, a very big thank you to the producer of our show, Santiago Helu Quintero. Blueprints of Disruption is an independent production operated cooperatively. You can follow us on Twitter at BP of Disruption. If you'd like to help us continue disrupting the status quo, please share our content. And if you have the means, consider becoming a patron. Not only does our support come from the progressive community, so does our content. So reach out to us and let us know what or who we should be amplifying. So until next time, keep disrupting.